The number of times I went through those songs trying to make sure I had them all in order. What I happened to do is take and do an individual stanza, like make a single slide for that. And then as we would go through, like, you know, verse one, then I would start over with a whole nother slide. I got about a 10-minute lesson, but it's 72 slides long, y'all. Yeah, just because of the songs. So this morning I want to talk about respecting authority. Last week we talked about, you know, assembling for worship and how there's even a greater need now. And some of the points I made in there was the idea that you know, the Lord is worth it. We need it. You know, so we really need to make sure that we're continuing to assemble and make sure that we're assembling appropriately. You know, there's a lot of people, and I understand why they're making the accommodations they are, but I'm very concerned, though, that they're not doing it biblically. They're not doing it according to the Word of God. You know, but I fully understand, though, the other side of it, and that's what they're saying, is where we're needing to respect authority. And that is Romans 13. Romans 13, beginning in verse 1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. Talking about the governing authorities. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore, ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, or taxes, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor. Now, Romans 13 is not the only place that speaks of this. Titus 3 and verse 1 says, remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work. So when I was reading through this, you know, studying and making up the lesson, I just wanted to pick out some main points there from Romans. You know, the idea that we must respect authority. The first part that I picked out right at the beginning was, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. Paul is writing to the Romans. All right? We understand the Romans' view of Jews in general, the Romans' views of Christianity because of the Jews and different problems and things that come up, you know, like with the Judeo-Roman wars and stuff. There's a lot of conflict there, and a lot of the problems are blamed on Christianity, and the Romans are really strict on Christians and Christianity. But notice Paul telling the Romans, those that are there and trying to worship, they're at Rome. You know, let every soul, that's not just talking about those that are outside the body of Christ. He says, I'm telling you, every soul be in subjection unto the higher powers. So he's saying, you follow the rules of Caesar, you follow the rules of the Senate, you follow those rules, you be in subjection to the laws of your land. That's really what he's saying. You know, it says the powers that be are ordained of God. So that's one of the points Paul's making. Those powers that are there, the Lord set those up. Now, we could go back to ancient history. We could talk about, you know, the Lord's people. We could talk about the Egyptians. We could talk about the Babylonians, the Assyrians. We can name all these different groups, including the Romans, good and bad things about them. But one thing that was definitely clear in the Old Testament was God set up each nation for a purpose, and God brought down each nation for a purpose. But God set them up and tore them down, both. And so here when he's telling the Romans this, that they are ordained of God, he's really saying the Lord has set these up. You take and be subjection to those. Or as Timothy said, or Paul to Timothy, be in submissiveness to them. Be submissive to those things. Follow those orders, you know, because they're good. Whoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance or commands or laws of God. Now, I don't think we think of that too often. You know, when we start thinking about speed limits and other things, sometimes we take those a little too much for granted, don't we? Do we think of it, okay, the law put those up? for us to break the law, we're also resisting the ordinances of God. So yeah, you know, things that they're putting in place, even with this virus and all, we need to make sure that we're doing everything we can to follow those. Those are laws put in place. God set up the government, and it says, you know, if we resist those things, we're resisting the ordinances of God. Notice it's also not a terror to good works, but to evil. You know, the idea that you know, the laws that are put in place, they are to keep peace and order. They are. They're really meant to be. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? If the power is set up by God and God's backing that power, are we not to be afraid of that power? Yes, we should, because it goes all the way back to the Lord. We need to realize that. Wherefore, ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. So part of what was wrote there between the last part and this part in the actual, you know, Romans 13 verses was the idea that, you know, if you broke these things, then you would have to deal with damnation. So this last really statement Paul's getting across is, okay, you're needing to be subjection, you know, have subjection under these things, be subject to these things, not just because you're afraid of what might happen. You know, like this morning, there is the opportunity, maybe the police coming in and giving us a warning, even possibly arresting me, sort of being the one encouraging everyone to meet here. You know, I shouldn't, you know, just do it because I'm afraid of being arrested, you know, because of that. But you do it because of conscience sake, because you know it's the right thing to do. That's really what Paul's getting across. All right, so when we're talking about this, we need to understand that there's two sides to this. One, the Lord is in control. He's controlling the government. The government is setting up, you know, different things as well. But I have to take and bring up the Lord's side of it. There's no contradictions in the Bible. We need to realize that. John 15 to 14 says, "Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." Well, there in Romans, that is a command. That's what Paul is relaying to the Romans. These are commands. You follow the government's, you know, rules. But we need to also understand that the Lord has set up his own rules. And that's what a lot of last week's lesson was about. All right, the need to worship and worship properly. We have to make sure we keep those. I think there's a prime example, and it's just a few verses, of this very situation. A situation like we could have in our ideal of worshiping today, even though we have the stay-at-home order and coming together. Acts 5, 28 and 29. All right. So we got Peter, we got John, we've got them there, we've got them before the Sanhedrin. And this is what said, "Did not we strictly command you," so this is authority that's in place, "did we not strictly command you," or straightly command you, "that you should not teach in his name? And behold," you know, showing that they've continued this, "ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." So he says, you know, as an authority, didn't we tell you not to do this? So, you know, Romans 13 say, well, we're supposed to follow authority. All right, we got to follow authority unless it contradicts the will of the Father. You know, what he's already put in place. Verse 29, "Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men." All right, that's a very simple statement. That's really what's been said here. This is it. You know, what Peter is making the point is, yes, you know, you have authority. And yes, you can arrest us. And yes, you can beat us. And yes, you can do all these things because of what you said. But the Lord has said for us to do this first and foremost. We are to follow all the laws of those that's above us and those in authority. We need to have respect for them. But we cannot let those things override what the Lord's already put in place. And that's really what he's saying. And really in this, there's a balance. We need to understand that there's a balance. Conclusion, I know you're like, all right, we're already at conclusion, but I got some points to make within it. The Lord has given us his laws, but he's also established our government. We need to realize that. You know, and they're not to be a conflict with one another. There's times like now that it seems like there is a conflict. But if you read all the laws, all the legal stuff, church services are counted as an essential service. All right? The government's not saying you cannot have religious services. They're not saying that. They're not going to follow that up. Now, Lake City, the police in Lake City, they actually said they would be going around and trying to do that. Andy was bringing that to my attention. I told him, you know, if you look at the city limits, it's one block north of us. Too bad for them. But here's the thing. The governor, the day after he put his order in, a lot of these cities started doing their own little thing, and the governor signed another law and says, no, My law is final, including church services are essential. So the city police cannot make you not, you know, meet. Now, there are some other situations, but they don't go against God's law. We need to understand that they're not in conflict with God's law. The ideal of each family staying together, you know, being 6 foot apart from other families, not touching things, not shaking hands, you know, all this social distance, there's nothing in that that conflicts with God's law at all. Nothing. So when we ideal of, well, are we going against the government when we're meeting to worship the Lord? No, not if we take care of both ideas. Not if we take care of what the government says we need and what the Lord says we need. You know, there's also the ideal of 10 people in a building. I understand that, but there's nothing in the Word of God whatsoever says we need to meet in a building. We can still meet up to 50 is what the governor and all saying, as long as we're spread out. We're definitely under 50. We've been under 50 for 10 years I've been here. You know, there's no reason we can't continue to meet. You know, there is no conflict there. We can find a balance. The problem comes down to, are we individually, are we as a group, are we all willing to make it work? That's the biggest problem. That's the biggest conflict. My father-in-law, he actually preaches at quite a big congregation compared to ours. And they got a big parking lot. And, you know, he likes to do technology and wire and stuff and different things. But they're doing some kind of FM radio feed. They're meeting in the parking lot in their own cars. And they're doing it and walking through, delivering the Lord's Supper to the cars. You know, there's ways to do it. Even though they're so much bigger, there's still ways to do it. And still meet for one service and everybody assemble like they're supposed to. It's still meeting the requirements. You know, I mentioned that there's a fellow up in Kentucky, because Kentucky is like one of the leading states that started things. Even before the government started saying things, Kentucky started putting things in place. All right? Rodeo arena. They have big, huge loudspeakers. Everybody got there and they spread out, use the rodeo speakers so they can still take care of services, still meet all requirements. I know groups that are meeting out in open fields, like up in Kentucky and other places where things have been stricter than Florida. We've just got ours. Some of those have had them for 2 weeks already. They're meeting out in big open fields. You know, they can spread themselves out. And yeah, the preacher just preaches a little louder. Songs, we just sing a little louder. More praise to God, right? It don't have to be a conflict there. We make our own conflicts when it comes to, do we serve the God or do we serve the government? We can do both. We can truly do both. We have to do everything possible, though, to be obedient to the law of the land. There's no doubt. And if they say absolutely no assemblies whatsoever, we'll deal with that when it comes. We'll have to. You know, God's law must be kept, and it does supersede all the laws of the land. We need to realize that. Because some are so easy to just fold up and say, okay, they said it, we're just done. Fine. To me, that's no different than saying, okay, the government said they're going to kill Christians. Well, I'm just not going to be a Christian. I'm just not going to promote it. I'm not going to say nothing. I'm not going to teach the Word of God. I just quit. To me, I see no difference in that. To disregard them, talking about the laws of the land, really can be the same as disregarding God's commands. We need to realize that. We can't just say, okay, God said this, so we just don't even worry about the government. No, we can't do that either. You know, we are to be the kind of individual that understands both are really God's laws. Both need to be taken care of. We have to find that balance. We do. You know, but if we're truly faithful children of His, we'll find the balance. We will. Christ did. You know, we mentioned Christ, how He come. He knew He was going to die. He knew He was going to suffer. He still paid taxes. He still went to the temple. He still did theirs. He still did all these things, unless they had conflict with the Word of God. And then He would say something about it or not do it. Or if it was just traditions of men. And see, that's some of our problems as well. We get the idea that we need all these different things to be able to truly worship. A lot of things we brought in can fall as tradition. You know, there are certain acts of worship that must be kept. You know, even the number of songs we got, you know, if we're worried about them coming and we're meeting too long, we only have to have really one song. We only have to have one prayer. We only have to have one portion of God's Word read to meet those requirements with the Lord's Supper and us coming together as a whole. We meet the requirements. A lot of this other stuff is tradition. We can get past ourselves and still do both. This morning, I'm going to leave you with that thought. If there's any here this morning that want to obey the gospel, that have not, but you know the exact requirements, you know the commitment that you need to make to become a child of God, to live that faithful life, Make that commitment this morning. Maybe you have obeyed the gospel. You've turned back into the world. Decide this morning to change. Repent of those things. Confess those things. Remove those things from you and come back to Him. If it's of a public nature, make it known publicly so we can pray for you. 369.
Bend it and hold. Let's stand and sing. Oh,